It's hour two, and it is Wednesday. That's Jeff and Erica. We're going to do our best to help you stay up to speed on more information than ever. It's just constantly coming out. And unfortunately, the more we watch and monitor the majority of the alt news people and watch what they're focused on, and this is not in any way being arrogant or condescending, but there are certain players in that field that it's almost like they're doing our programs from notes that they've taken, which is fine because the information is important. But they're always struggling to come up with something new and something hot. And we had graphene oxide for a long time. That was the big one. Now we have venom. Everyone's talking about venom. And I think, honestly, we might have been among the very first in the alt news world to mention the fact that there were venom peptides in these injections. But it's not venom, and it's not in your tap water. It's a whole different thing. Okay, let's bring on the better half of this team once again and say hello to the lovely and talented songstress. Oh, no, that's a different program. She's not a songstress. Erica Kahn, the singing scientist.
Well, I have not been known to sing.
I've never heard it. I just wanted to encourage you in case you want to take that up. Go right ahead. Here's what we've got. We've got myocarditis and heart attacks, as in atrial fib, whatever, people dropping over dead and being given a cause of death that, you know, keeps Pfizer and Moderna in the shadows. That's what they do all the time. We had LeBron James' son have a heart attack. That's what he had. His heart stopped. He died, basically, on the playing court in the gym where they were rehearsing at USC for their upcoming season, getting ready. 18 years old. Shot up, and I believe the old man is injected as well. So not a surprise if you've been following this program and the information we presented. He had a heart attack, and these things happen all the time. Now, on the other side of that coin, we have all kinds of paramedic EMT calls now that are for falls. People just falling. They're not tripping. Oh, I tripped over the dog and I fell. They're just checking out and face planting. Boom, they're down. This is becoming rather routine, and the paramedics go all day long, and they are actually sounding a little tired at times, too. I can't blame them. So we have a lot to discuss, and it all relates back to these death injections and myocarditis, pericarditis, and other issues, amyloid clots, microclots in and around the heart, you name it. And we've got all kinds of things. And there seems to be a feeling, a sense that I'm coming up with. I'm interested to see what Erica says, that there's a growing tsunami of people who have been percolating these terrible injuries for a long time now, a year, 2 years in some cases, and all of a sudden these things are beginning to show up as fatal consequences. People are getting real, real sick, and injured is one of the words that comes to mind. I think there's a growing wave of people who are going down is what I'm saying. What do you think?
I think you're right. I am seeing an increase in the number of 911 calls on a daily basis. And the noticeable thing is the age. Before, up until about a month ago, it was mostly older people, 70s, 80s, even 90s in some cases. But now I'm seeing a lot more 40s, sometimes 30s, occasionally a child. But 30s, 40s, 50s now. And things, strokes, non-responsive, you know, just passed out, falls.
Oh, and how about some of the others? I forget the term. Mental, what was it, that one I heard today?
Well, we have suicidal ideation.
That's one.
And then altered mental status.
That's the other one. What the hell
is
that?
Yeah, there is an increase in those. Well, it's people losing it.
Right.
Impulse control disorder.
Remember how many people have described mom or dad or uncle or brother or cousin or friend no longer happy and affable anymore, and they're hostile, they're rude, they're antagonistic. These are major personality changes that we're hearing about.
Yeah, they are. I don't know what's at the root of it. You know, I don't, many things can affect someone's ability to think, perceive. Did you see the video of Mitch McConnell today?
Yes,
you did see that, right?
I played it last hour. Yeah,
okay.
Just the audio portion of it. He. By the way, at the end of it, I don't know, but he went back to the press conference and stood there while they had. I think we just lost Erica. He went back to the press conference and stood there while they did their question and answer, and then they got him going out of the building, and he said, I'm fine. The president called and asked about my condition, and I told him I was fine. So he was back to his normal ways. You back?
I'm back.
they haven't cut you off for a little while. It's been a while.
Hmm.
Mitch McConnell came back for the question and answer session. He didn't participate, but he was standing there, so he did return to the podium area. And then he left the building, and they did ask him, a reporter or two said, "How are you?" He said, I'm fine. The president called and asked how I was doing, and I told him I was fine, and I'm okay. And he just walked on by, basically. So,
well, he may have no
really
memory of that.
What
out.
Do they call that?
Is it a transient global
TIA.
Well, that it could be an ischemic event, but there's another one called the global amnesia, where you basically have no memory of an episode. I mean, it varies as to how long somebody can be in that state.
Well, the interesting part, if you watch it,
you know,
watch it closely. He doesn't even blink his eyes.
No.
He just stares. He's fixed. He's looking into a parallel universe. He's just staring. There's nothing going on there. So that was probably time lost. I think he may be right. He's just, he's 81 years old. He's lived a good life, the high life, so to speak. You know, the best in food, the best in restaurants, hotels, whatever. These people have a gifted existence in terms of things and all the accoutrements of the upper class. That's what they get. So he eats garbage food, probably, and he's 81. So maybe that's it. I don't know. They're all disgusting, those people. They're awful, awful people. Okay, myocardial injured people. We don't know how many, but a lot of them. Myocardial injuries after COVID-19 mRNA booster vaccination, the Moderna vax, has hit by one study. There's a new one, and Dr. John Campbell has something to say about this. We're going to play that video in just a minute. One out of 35 people have absolute myocardial injury after these vaccines. That's just the particular survey he's quoting. We don't know what the reality of it is. Some of these surveys are difficult because it could be a 12-month survey, and, you know, in the 13-month, a lot more people begin to manifest things. I don't know what it is, but he does. So we'll listen to him in a minute. Myocardial injuries is interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people have them.
The myocardium is a rather thin membrane around the heart area, maybe 2-3 cells thick. And in those myocardial cells are little myocardial figments, fractions. They're little pieces. Anyway, if the cell membrane becomes compromised, which is myocardial damage, those myocardial pieces leave the cell. They're called troponins, officially, and that's what they test for. They'll do a troponin test to see if your myocardial membrane has been compromised. All right? So that's what he's going to explain. Tell us more about troponins.
Well, that's an enzyme that is released by the heart muscle, heart cells, when it's been damaged. That's one way that they check to see if somebody's had a heart attack, because you can measure troponin levels in the blood. The interesting thing, though, is many of these people who believe they have myocarditis or might have been told they have myocarditis don't have elevated troponin levels. So it makes you wonder, are they being given an accurate diagnosis?
Or that's a very interesting statement you just made. I didn't know that.
They did do one study that showed that the people that did develop myocarditis post-injection had detectable levels of full-length spike protein circulating in their blood, while people who didn't develop myocarditis post-injection did not have that circulating spike. So that's notable.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I think this is becoming more recognized now, that there's problems with blood flow to the heart, and that is responsible for a lot of the pain these people are feeling. The heart's just not getting adequate oxygen to work normally.
And the heart aches physically.
Yeah.
Literally. It hurts. It's in pain. Now, the Dr. Agassi, what was it? Is it Agassi?
Nagase, yeah.
Nagase. I forgot the N. Nagase explained, and we played that video, how the spike protein can surround the heart and shut it down. It can do it bioelectrically. It interrupts the autonomic nervous signals to the heart to beat.
Mm-hmm.
He did explain that very well. That's another part of this thing. If you're swimming in spike, it could easily do that to your heart. It could surround your heart and shut it down. That was the message from Dr. Nagase. And that's another part of this thing. There's so many. It's just endless. It goes on and on. All right, let's listen to Dr. John Campbell, who is not a doctor. He's a PhD nurse, but he's very smart, very well respected. And he's going to talk about this myocardial injury after the COVID-19 booster vax by Moderna. Here we go. This is just one particular study.
A 1273 booster. Department of Cardiology and Cardiovascular Research, Institute of Basel in Switzerland, of course. Now, this is published in the European Journal of Heart Failure. It's an open access journal of the Heart Failure Association of the European Society of Cardiology. So top flight stuff. This paper is accepted, it is peer-reviewed, it's not yet published. We've got a preprint, a pre-release copy, because it's not a preprint, because it is peer-reviewed, and a fully accepted paper in an international peer-reviewed reputable journal. It's a prospective active surveillance study. So they started, they went forward, collected the data as they went on, and it's active surveillance. They were actually looking for things. In the past, what we've had is retrospective passive surveillance. So it's been passive in the past. People have only collected data as patients have come forward to complain about it. And it's been retrospective looking back. This is a much better quality study all round and has produced really quite worrying results, really. And this study was industry independent. It had nothing to do with the people that are making the money. Nothing to do with the people that are making the money. This study was not carried out by the people that are making the money. Independent. Instigated by the investigators themselves. So the aim, they want to look at the incidence of potential mechanism of oligosymptomatic. So oligo means few, oligosymptomatic. So oligosymptomatic myocardial injury is myocardial injury which has sometimes no symptoms or sometimes minimal symptoms. It's oligosymptomatic.
Now that's an interesting statement, because it was said by somebody that it was postulated that most everyone who had taken a viable injection has myocarditis or myocardial injury. Remember that?
Yeah, and was, I believe it was Dr. Robert Malone who made that statement.
I think you're right. I think you're right. So it doesn't, if you feel good, it doesn't mean you don't have myocardial injury from these boosters. Not trying to sound negative, I'm just saying that that's the fact of the matter. And the other end of the coin or spectrum is, if you flip it, people have pain in their heart. They feel like their chest is bound up all the time and they can't get rid of it. We've talked about that many times in the past. All right, here's Dr. Campbell again.
But that doesn't mean to say there can't be quite severe consequences. In fact, just before we go on, I think I'll just tell you something about the potential severe consequences. Now, this is from the textbook of medicine that's been used for generations now. I just want to read something from this. In most patients, this is talking about myocarditis. In most patients, the disease is self-limiting and the immediate prognosis is excellent. However, death may occur due to ventricular arrhythmia or rapid progressive heart failure. Myocarditis has been reported as a cause of sudden and unexpected death in young athletes. And we could go on and read about longer term complications. Not my words, directly from David's Principles and Practice of Medicine. Anyway, let's get back to the study we're looking at today. This study from Switzerland. Following COVID mRNA vaccine boosters. So this is following boosters. Now, they wanted to check on what was causing this and how often it was occurring. And it's also very important, a safety net for people that have been boosted. So what they did, if people had raised troponins at 3 days after the booster, they said, look, you've got raised troponins after 3 days, therefore let's get a repeat blood test. Therefore let's get a 12-lead ECG or other cardiological investigations as the cardiologists deem fit. Take rest, do not exercise, because if you've got myocarditis and you just rest for a few days, good chance it'll just go away, get better. If you go running or training, there's a good chance, not a good chance, but there's a chance you can go into a ventricular fibrillation, into a full cardiac arrest. So the fact that these people were warned is so important. Probably not happening where you are, certainly not happening where I am. So this safety netting, screening and prevention of complications, research methods. So December 2021 to February 2022, hospital employees, so these are healthcare workers mostly, but hospital employees, scheduled to undergo booster vaccination. This is the Moderna. They were assessed for vaccine-associated myocardial injury, blood being taken 3 days after the vaccine. Defined as an acute dynamic increase in, so what they look for, high sensitivity, cardiac troponin concentration, that's what they're looking for. So we probably know this, but if we have cells here in the heart, so these would be cells in the heart, these cells that constitute the myocardium. Now, in these cells, there are troponins. So troponins are chemicals in these cells that are to do with the contraction of the myocardium. Now, if the cell is damaged or insulted in any way, if there's damage to the cell, then what happens is there's actually a breach in the integrity of the cell wall and the troponins leak out. So if these troponins are found in higher concentrations in the blood, it indicates that myocardial cells have been damaged. Very, very simple cardiac marker testing, absolutely standard to look for troponins in all aspects.
Now, he said,
coronary care. So they're looking for those above age and sex upper limits on day three.
All right, day three. He says that the troponins are chemicals. They're not chemicals, so we don't want you to think that they came from the injection somehow. They're natural. They're enzymes, correct?
That's correct, yes.
So if the wall of the cell is damaged, now, how would a cell wall get damaged? It would have an ACE2 on it, and it would get locked up with a spike protein and damage the cell wall? That would be most
well,
logical,
the immune system would see it and
attack it.
And now, yeah, it knows it's not supposed to be there and try to eliminate it.
Okay. All right. So all of you out there who know anyone who's had myocardial injury or myocarditis probably has heard the word troponin. That's very common. That's what they test for. All right, here we go back a little bit more here.
Blood taken 48 to 96 hours after vaccination. And, very importantly, there was no alternative course. So these patients were screened by proper doctors and scientists. If they had a reason why they might have increased troponins, like they just ran a marathon, that they would be excluded from the study. Other causes of raised troponins were excluded. This is a very thorough, well-conducted study. And I've already seen quite a bit of misinformation about this study already, but it is well-conducted. They did exclude other causes of raised troponins. 77 participants, median age 37, more women than men in a healthcare environment. So working age adults.
He misspoke. It's 777 participants, not 77.
Minimal risk from severe COVID. Almost none. I mean, all these patients have been exposed many times if they're healthcare workers, almost certainly. Now, 40 participants, 5.1%, had high sensitivity cardiac troponin concentrations on day 3 that were above the 99th percentile. Already that's high, so 5.1% is already high, showing much higher levels of troponin than you would expect. mRNA 1273 vaccine-associated myocardial injury was adjudicated in 22 participants, 2.8%. Dear me. If someone said to me, look, you could have had this vaccine, as I did. But by the way, there's a 2.8% chance you'll have a vaccine-associated myocardial injury. I would have run a mile. I am furious at not being fully informed about this, and you should be too.
Okay, we'll stop it there. The point is that there's clear proof that the whole vaccine industry is harming people. All right, whether it's Moderna or Pfizer, it doesn't matter. These people, 3% after 3 days showing elevated troponins. So, boom, you've got obvious myocardial involvement. It's not good. And he's very upset about this. He goes on and he does do a little raging. But so there you go from Dr. John Campbell, the latest on myocardial injury from the so-called vaccines. Not good news. All right, we've got some other examples of this myocarditis saga. You've got a six-part run on this one. You want to go ahead?
Yeah, let's see.
These, remember now, again, it's been said that by some people call them negative thinkers and talkers, but it's been said that everybody who takes a viable, functional booster, at least, is probably going to end up with myocarditis, whether they have symptomology or not. They're going to be damaged by these things. All right.
Okay. Yeah, some of these are just, they are sagas because we're going on 2+ years now in some cases with these people. And I have noticed that the activity in some of these support groups has diminished from what it was initially. And I think people are resigning themselves to this is the new normal for them. They're living with this pain, living with exhaustion, living with no answers or no solutions. So they are difficult to read, but these people shouldn't be forgotten because they are out there. And they've paid a heavy price for, well, whatever, if they were duped.
This could show up just as fatigue. That's one of the most common symptoms of these shots.
Yeah, and another pattern I've seen is the pain. People may think that they're okay following these injections, and then for some reason, several months later, they start to develop the pain. In fact, I think in one case it was like a year. Now, you could say, well, maybe the person contracted the virus at some point. You know, these vaccines, so-called vaccines, don't protect against the virus. They just make you not have symptoms, I think, when you acquire it. And probably because of the antibody-dependent enhancement, may make you more likely to contract the virus at this point.
You know, we don't this is important. We don't hear much talk about the virus anymore. Not even talk about variants. Variant this, variant that, which they use for a long time to scare people. We don't hear much talk about the virus. Not by name.
Definitely still out there.
It's
not being talked about in mainstream media. They want you to think all over. And meanwhile, people are still getting sick. And just utterly debilitated. And unvaxxed people as well. Unvaxxed people are getting sick and in some cases dying. We've had several examples of that. Now, was it just shedding or did they too also have the virus? I mean, nobody's testing for the virus anymore, but it is still out there. And it seems that the second time around with it, if you're lucky enough to get it twice or three times, each subsequent time is a little bit worse.
Here's another note. Let me do this real quick. I got this from our listener who sent me the Campbell video. He said, cardiac arrest is not the same as heart attack. Which is more serious, a heart attack or cardiac arrest? And the formal internet information is heart attack versus cardiac arrest. Both a sudden cardiac arrest and a heart attack are serious medical emergencies and can be life-threatening conditions. However, cardiac arrest is typically more severe as it can result in death within minutes if proper medical care is not provided. And Bronnie James had a cardiac arrest on the basketball court at USC, and he could have been gone, as I said earlier. They got him, they stabilized him and got him to the hospital. So, and he was injected, so figure it out. Just go back to Dr. Nagase, if you can find our program with him in it, and hear him explain how the spike can swarm the heart and shut it down.
Fascinating. Yeah, if you have that degree
horrifying
of inflammation in the heart, and a lot of times it's subclinical. You may not know it's there. And this microclotting that's also compromising the function of the heart. You know, it's another cause of sudden death in athletes that it's not talked about that much, but it is a factor, is when you have depleted levels of NAD. No NAD means no ATP, and your heart doesn't beat. So that can happen in overtrained athletes. They get super efficient, but at the same time, what happens is they're depleting their purine pool, and they cannot build ATP, and that can be a cause of sudden death.
Well, we've seen a lot of that. Was it 6,000 died in Europe in the last 2 years? Something like that.
It's probably electrical, but at the same time, it could be a function of not having ATP.
Chemical,
because of the microclotting, there's no oxygen.
Physical. Right.
Well, biochemical. I mean, the cell cannot produce ATP. And the heart is kind of an energy-hungry organ. You deprive it of oxygen, and it struggles.
All right. Let's jump into this little series here. These are for all of you out there who either have myocarditis, and many of you do, and if that projection is correct, that everyone who's taken an injection or two or three or four or five has it to some degree or another, this should be helpful. Go ahead.
Okay, this is a woman speaking. Feeling defeated and hopeless today. It's been 2 years, 3 months, and 19 days ago when I was taken away from me. I feel like I died that day. I don't know a life without pain anymore. I don't feel myself naturally smile anymore. My excitement level for anything is at a zero. I try to find some joy, and it just gets taken away by pain. Trust, I've tried so hard to find the beauty in something so dark. I was never one to question God, and now I ask, where are you? The most common questions I wonder about is, 1, will this pain ever end? 2, will I ever have a normal life again? 3, will I ever truly be happy ever again? And 4, how much longer can I do this for? Apologies for expressing these not-so-positive feelings out loud, but this is the one place I feel heard and seen. No one truly understands the physical pain and mental warfare unless they are going through it themselves. I went from a perfectly healthy, beautiful life where I was bubbly on the daily and super silly. I'd always be cracking jokes, making my family laugh. One of the most heartbreaking things was when my father told me it breaks his heart that my light has dimmed and doesn't shine as bright anymore because of what this has done to me. My natural zest for life is gone, and honestly, depression is an understatement for how I feel. I pray for everyone in this group every day. Keep strong, my fellow warriors.
Wow. That's a powerful, powerful statement. That's quite a testimonial. The most common questions I wonder about, and she lists them.
And that
read those,
is not
read those,
uncommon.
Read those four again, because I think they're emblematic of this whole myocarditis group. They're suffering. These are four very important questions that she posed really eloquently.
Will this pain ever end? Will I ever have a normal life again? Will I ever truly be happy ever again? How much longer can I do this for?
Pretty damn sobering. We were talking last week, I think, about the fact that a lot of people in general, I don't see happiness out there anymore. I don't see laughter. I don't see much smiling. I see a lot of overweight people who are just plogging along. Had to go out today, and a thin person is rare anymore, at least in these parts. They're hefty.
Yeah, that's been true for some time in this country.
They're getting worse, though. I think they're getting worse. I don't know. It just seems like everybody's fat now or overweight. All right, the next piece in this little thread. Responds, I don't know who this is, Helen? That's a respondent, right?
A poster.
She says, blank this condition. I have not been able to work since I collapsed at work last March in 2023. Now I'm going from my final stage of sickness, where I could be dismissed due to long-term sickness. I'm only 46. What is MN?
I don't know.
All right, I'm only 46 and have to take my pension. Before all this, I was running marathons and doing triathlons. Now I'm just hovering. Hoovering. Okay. All right. Now I'm just vacuuming the house, and that shudders me. All I want is my life back. And there's a response to that. March 2023, you're still in the thick of things. I was injured December 2021. And though I still have bad days, I am seeing recovery. It just takes an unbelievably long time. It took me a year to be able to walk for more than a few steps again. Now I have a sprained foot, which is a separate issue, but I could walk today for a mile or two on a good day. I can't go back to the field I was in, as it was a very physical job, but I'm also no longer bedridden. And there's a response to that.
Oh, she corrected herself. It's been March 2022 that she's been dealing with this.
Not
this
December
March.
December 2021. Okay. March 2022.
No, the original poster said that she was injured this past March. So that's only, what,
Got
4
it.
Months ago?
Yeah.
So no, it was so a year and 4 months ago.
She missed a year. Okay. My job was and is a healthcare assistant. on a very busy, stressful, demanding ward in my local hospital. Luckily, that's where I collapsed. If I was at home, then I wouldn't be here. I'm eternally thankful for what my colleagues did for me on that day. And another response to that, most of us have gone through a similar situation. I was doing 5 to 10 hours of sports and exercise a week. That's gone now. Is your myocarditis injured? Go ahead.
Tragic. Okay, another one. Another woman. I am feeling emotional today. I am 15 months post-Pfizer and feel like I am getting worse. It is to the point that any type of stress causes a quick feeling that my heart squeezes, constricts, as if it isn't pumping correctly and getting enough oxygen or blood flow. My doctor doesn't know why, but it scares me that if I get stressed out or emotional or I am going up the stairs or just standing too long, that it does this and could lead to something bad happening. I've been on 6 months of aspirin, 2 months in with Arcalyst, 4.5 months of colchicine, and supplements, but no relief. The beta blocker I'm on can only be taken occasionally due to my low blood pressure. It does help somewhat with the squeezing. I'm just at a loss as to how to get better, since my symptoms seem to be worsening as time goes on. And one reply to that, I'm at 11 months and low-level pericarditis persisting, even though I'm still on colchicine and NSAIDs, that's ibuprofen, Motrin, a type of anti-inflammatory. I am convinced that these, blank, blank, gave us a combination of autoimmune pericarditis and microclotting leading to vascular angina. That's a good guess. This thing damaged us on multiple levels. I have been prescribed Arcalyst, but can't take it yet, as I'm on valacyclovir to treat reactivated Epstein-Barr virus, also triggered by the jab. If viral persistence is the true underlying issue, as many suspect, then going on an immunosuppressant would not be a good idea until it can be cleared.
See, viral persistence, person doesn't know if it's the virus or the vax, the bioweapon.
Well, the vax is known now pretty fairly predictably to reactivate these herpes viruses, mm-hmm. that if you had a competent immune system, that, you know, wouldn't be an issue.
Right. All right, the next one. After spending several days in hospital every month for 6 consecutive months, shortly after getting my booster shot, I started Kineret injections. That's K-I-N-E-R-E-T, Kineret injections, exactly 1 year ago today to help treat my reoccurring pericarditis. Over the last year, I felt gradual improvements and started to do things that are considered normal activities, such as getting groceries and taking care of my yard. I started to go on longer walks and hikes with my dog and began to attend social activities that involved alcohol. I had an MRI a few months ago that showed no inflammation, and my effusion was gone. E-F-F-U-S-I-O-N. What is effusion in this case?
Can you guess? Pleural effusion? Yeah.
I don't know. Next, it says, last month, my cardiologist and I decided to attempt to taper off from the Kineret injections. The plan was to drop one injection per month, so instead of injecting daily, these are daily shots, it would be 6 times a week for a month, and then 5 injections per week for a month, and so forth. I usually inject around 1 to 2 p.m. I was supposed to skip my injection today, but by 6 p.m. I was getting sharp, stabbing pain that I have not had for a long time. I had no choice but to inject this evening in order to avoid all the symptoms returning along with an effusion. This is such bullshit and depressing. It is fairly obvious to me that this condition will be with me for the rest of my life. What a poor quality of life and future is ahead of me. I can't even leave the country because I cannot get medical care without it costing a fortune. I am only able to get Kineret via a patient assistance program, and this will not last forever. The Canadian government has denied and rejected all my applications for assistance. To them, I am just collateral damage to the vax rollout, and they would rather send billions to Ukraine than help their own citizens. I am so effing pissed off. Why was I such an idiot to get injected with that poison? Biggest mistake of my life.
Yep.
Not a happy story. She's injecting seven days a week for 6 months, every day. And she cut back one day and hell to pay.
Yeah, that Kineret is, it dampens down the immune response. It's typically used for like rheumatoid arthritis.
Uh-huh.
So obviously his doctor has determined that he has...
To her.
Is it a her?
I think so.
Oh, Kareem, okay. You're right. Where is that? I don't know. Well, it's an unfortunate person. Anyway, it sounds like he's got some autoimmune condition, and this is what they call an IL-1 inhibitor, which should turn off some of the immune attack on his heart.
I think it is a guy. It's hard to tell by the picture. K-A-R-I-M, Kareem Rajani, is an Indian, apparently. So, at any rate, go ahead.
All right, moving on. I'm extremely depressed. My life has not been the same, and this is so hard, as I'm on my own. I am completely overwhelmed with the direction my life has gone since this. I also have other conditions on top of the myocarditis that make it even worse.
See? So many different things are at work in these poor people. It's so sad. And I hope this is helpful to those who don't know much about this and how many people are out there suffering in silence. They don't talk about this. They go out and they get to the store and they can do things, but they're in misery. This is
awful. If they go out, a lot of these people are housebound, if not bedbound.
Exactly. Yes.
She continues, I feel like I'm closing off from the world, as I don't have any good news to give on my condition when people ask. I'm scared I won't be around much longer, as the life expectancy on this condition isn't good, and I'm just going to suffer daily until I'm gone. I'm just not improving, and my heart is completely broken. I'm doing all the right things, believe me. I am so sick of living with this pain and disability 24/7.
You know, when she says, my heart is broken, completely broken, she's not far off the mark. Her heart's in real trouble.
And one comment. I'm curious if anyone in this group is having blood issues as well. My granddaughter, 21, was dealing with the heart palpitations, etc., and appeared to be getting better, but now her blood results came back, and the fear is blood cancer.
Uh-huh.
My heart breaks hearing these stories, as our family silently trying to figure out the next move. I'm fuming, angry. They made everyone sick, and now we have the medical bills that we should not be having to pay. They did this. I'm just lost, and your story makes it so hard to hear how many have been affected. Lots of prayers for you.
They sure did do it. And these poor people, whether they're housebound or still somewhat able to get around, live lives of hell. 81 to 83% vaxxed. That's the best guess we can put forward as far as the success of the bioweapon injections. 80 plus percent. And again, so many of them have problems. Many, many, many problems. In many cases, those many problems aren't even recognized by the medical establishment as being derived from the injection.
No.
They just say, you have this and you have that. All right, here's the last one. This is Idalia. That's a female. It's been a while since I've posted, but here's a quick update. Had all tests come back clear with my cardiologist, besides minor PALPS showing up, palpitations. Of course, they said it's not a concern, probably from caffeine. Yeah, yeah, like I ever had this problem before, uh-huh. Had to quit my job because I'm easily exhausted still. But for the most part, I'm living my new normal without too much problem, aside from the occasional palpitations and fatigue. Recently, though, I've been incredibly dizzy. It's not the first time it's happened where I have bouts of dizziness, but this time has been the longest. Going on a week now, and I can't take it anymore. Has anyone else dealt with this? What can I do to help it? Not much. I don't know.
Yeah, if you can figure out what's causing it. You know, it sounds like...
The doctor's
like
blaming
it's...
caffeine. Come on, see.
Yeah.
Don't ever go to the shots. Caffeine.
Uh-huh. Well, it has the hallmarks of that POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which is an autonomic nervous system issue. And it's probably from the damaged endothelium not being able to respond to signaling to either raise or lower blood pressure as needed, and then you get dizzy and you can't function.
No. No.
We've got one more, myocarditis and progesterone. Do you see that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is actually the woman, I don't know if people remember, a few months ago, she actually had a baby. She conceived after she had received the injections and after she was diagnosed with myocarditis, and she did deliver what we think is a healthy baby, but she's trying to get her life back on track to the best of her ability. And so a few days ago, she posted this. I just wanted to put a warning out for any ladies considering progesterone. My naturopath put me on it, as apparently my body doesn't make it. I have severe headaches on both sides of my monthly time, but I only took it about 8 days before having severe heart pain. I had taken ibuprofen due to feeling some ache, as is my custom, but this added progesterone made my left arm and hand go totally numb. In addition to the severe heartache, I think it is as close to a stroke as you can get, and it's cut off.
See, there's another one with heartache. It hurts. It's pain
in
the heart. This is, I think, incredibly common out there, and people just don't advertise it. I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to talk about it.
No, every time you talk about it, you kind of reinforce it.
Yeah. Bad psychology. Yeah.
And someone wants to clarify, do you speak of bioidentical hormones? She answers, yes. Okay, thank you for the warning. And another woman says, oh, yes, this happened to me last month. I was put on birth control due to irregular periods. I instantly felt a flare. Shoulder pain. I stopped after the seventh day, and I opted for an ablation instead.
Ablations. They do that commonly to try to slow the heart down. It's a surgical procedure, and it's you can look at it.
Rather barbaric, but
it's very definitely crude. Here's a quickie. This is an unvaxxed person who's now experiencing chest pain from shedding. And the first question was, has anyone had chest pain after being around them and because of shedding? And the poster says, yes, I was having chest pains often when we were trying to live a normal social life, and i.e. hanging around with the vaxxed. I was also having terrible headaches that kept me in a completely dark room because I couldn't even handle a light being turned on. Terrible ear ringing daily. Tinnitus, and my periods were not right. I'll leave it at that. Now that we have gone back to staying home, all of these symptoms have gone away. Shedding.
Yeah, we've had stories like that and worse.
Yes. For those doubters, and I see them every day, out and about, no masks, just talking and laughing it up occasionally, not a lot of humor out there, but talking it up with people. And they have no idea what their vax status is. They're strangers. And we know for a fact that we've been warning about shedding 2.5 years. It's something you really need to take into consideration when you're planning out how you're going to live your life. We do recommend masks in any circumstance where you're going to be around those who are shedding. It's simple. They're not perfect. But if it's even going to give you a 10% better chance of avoiding spike contamination, isn't that good? Won't you take it? We think it's a good idea to do that. Wash your hands. Try not to be around them. And for all of you who are listening who have been injected and you're one of them, you don't want to be around the unvaxxed either, because they're going to be carrying a relatively normal load of pathogens, and you don't want to be around their bacteria and viruses. So it's a mutually exclusive situation here, if you look at it honestly. Anyway.
Well, don't forget that what's looming on the horizon there is tuberculosis.
I was going to try and work that in, but I didn't think I had time. But let's do it. We got 2 minutes. We can stretch it.
Well, TB. Yeah, it's TB, tuberculosis. It's a lung infection, very, very serious. And it is contagious. It's spread through aerosols. We're having
invaders.
Outbreaks of it. Yeah, there's some staggering percentage of the invaders that are infected with it, active cases of tuberculosis. And should you contract it, it's, 9 months of, I think it's a triple antibiotic therapy.
9 to 12 months. It costs about $150,000, and that's for common TB. If you have the MDR TB, it's 2 to 3 years. Just do the math on the cost. If you have XDR TB, you probably are not going to get well for many years. It's going to take that long if you can get well. And all these invaders are coming in here, 9 million since the O'Bidens have taken over, and we don't have any idea how many of those are carrying and spreading tuberculosis. It's a lot. They're not checking them. They're not testing them at all. There was a recent projection that 1,500 children, invader children, I think it was 1,500, are now being put in schools with our children, American citizen children who are TB-free, and they're spreaders. They're shedding it. TB. No joke.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I think we've covered the myocarditis issue again pretty thoroughly. I hope that helps informationally to all of you out there. Don't give up. I understand how it can literally turn your life inside out and upside down, and the misery and the depression, and the poor woman describing how she's no longer funny or humorous, doesn't joke around anymore. I was talking about that last week, just in general. And there are so many other parts of this vax injury profile that can cause people to basically go dark. They just, they're not like they used to be.
Tragic.
It is. All right, anything else real quick?
No, that should do it.
Okay. Thank you, young lady. Talk to you soon. Great job.
Okay. My pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Okay, gang, we'll be right back with more after this.